7 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. Sitka is launching a top-to-bottom assessment of how it handles trash and recycling. During a work session last night, the Sitka Assembly heard from the contractors tasked with creating a new solid waste management plan for the city. Representatives of the firm CB&I outlined the process that will, they hope, lead to a new master plan by September. Rachel Waldholz reports.
Consultant Chris Bell had one suggestion for how assembly members could wrap their minds around the different challenges associated with garbage and recycling in Sitka.
I would ask you to consider riding, spending some time along with the garbage truck, seeing what they experience on a day-to-day basis, because a lot of things will open your eyes and see some of the kind of the intricacies of your system.
Bell is part of a team from the contractor CB&I that's in town this week to kick off a total reassessment of how Sitka takes out its trash. In February, the Assembly approved a contract of up to $250,000 with CB&I to develop a comprehensive solid waste management plan. The team's first stop was a work session with the Sitka Assembly. Project manager Phil Kowalski said his team will be looking at options to improve services like garbage collection, to increase recycling and composting, and to set rates that don't overburden residents but bring in enough revenue to sustain whatever system the city ultimately decides upon.
So through this public process, we hope to make people aware of what those balancing considerations are and ultimately arrive at a recommended program that is practical and balanced between cost and environmental considerations.
Kowalski added that now is a good time for Sitka to reassess its waste management system because the most recent plan was completed in the 1990s and the city's contracts for garbage collection, recycling, and shipping are all up for renegotiation in 2015. Assemblymember Mike Reif said the study is coming with a hefty price tag.
Share with me some of your Southeast experience and why you can bring something to this collaborative process that's going to be valuable to us.
Essentially, he asked, what makes CB&I's input worth $250,000? Kowalski said he has a background in waste management plans for remote communities, and Chris Bell noted that to date, only two Alaska cities, Kodiak and Juneau, have gone through the process of developing this kind of comprehensive plan, and said that he and another team member, Richard Hertzberg, worked on both of those plans. He said the Juneau process led the city to adopt a system of curbside recycling by subscription. Up next for the contractors is a meeting with the Solid Waste Advisory Committee. Kowalski said they hope to get plenty of public input.
We've included in the work plan what we think will be a very effective program for allowing the public to participate in this planning process.
That program essentially revolves around the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, which Kowalski said has already been formed. He said it includes representatives from the solid waste industry, environmental groups, the business community, the Assembly, and the Sitka Tribe. The committee will hold meetings in March, May, and July. The meetings will be open to the public, with time set aside for public comment. There will also be an online survey for residents to weigh in on the current system and suggest changes they'd like to see. CB&I hopes to have final recommendations ready by August or September. Meanwhile, none of the Assembly members committed to taking that ride on the garbage truck, but Deputy Mayor Matt Hunter suggested one potential incentive.
I wonder if they'd let us work the robotic arm.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholz.
The first Solid Waste Advisory Committee meeting will be held tonight at 6 p.m. at Harrigan Centennial Hall. That meeting is open to the public. A small southern southeast Alaska ferry line is of large value to the region's economy. That's according to a new report studying the Inter-Island Ferry Authority. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has details.
The authority, known as the IFA, carries about 52,000 passengers a year. A single ferry leaves the eastern Prince of Wales Island port of Hollis each morning. It arrives in Ketchikan about 3 hours later, then waits till the evening to sail back. A new study shows it's an important part of the region's economy.
No one is more dependent on IFA's daily timetable than those trying to get fresh or live seafoods market.
Melanie Shivens of Juneau-based Scheinberg Associates authored the report, funded by a state grant to the authority. She says the ferry carries 3 million pounds of seafood a year, with a value of about $15 million. Researchers talked to Prince of Wales Island fishermen, divers, and logistics workers for the report.
And the businesses also told us that without the IFA, they wouldn't be in business.
Shivan says the ferry also supports seafood processors in Ketchikan. The report says tourists and others traveling to the island spend close to $6 million a year, and islanders headed to Ketchikan purchase about $10 million in goods.
We talked to the floor manager in Walmart there, and he let us know that approximately 10% of all of his customers are coming from off the ferry. And that really, you know, those numbers add up.
The Inter-Island Ferry Authority study also shows close to 4,000 students sailing the route in a year, about the same number traveled for medical care in Ketchikan or elsewhere. Other details of economic and human impacts are included in the full report.
I think what it means to us is trying to explain to other people what we mean to them.
Dennis Watson is the IFA's general manager. He's also mayor of Craig, the largest city on Prince of Wales. He says it's important to note that the ferry authority covers three-quarters of its costs through ticket sales. That's far more than the state ferry system and better than its cousins in Washington State and British Columbia. Watson says that still leaves about a $750,000 hole in the IFA's $4 million a year budget. The Parnell administration has put two-thirds of that in a budget bill, though there's no guarantee it will make it through the legislature. Watson says some of what's left will be raised internally.
The board has entertained a fare increase just for adult walk-ons. The seniors and children and whatnot wouldn't be affected by it, or vehicles.
That'll be a few dollars on top of the approximately $45 one-way fare. The Inter-Island Ferry Authority has provided Prince of Wales to Ketchikan service for about a dozen years. It also ran a northern route for a few seasons, but it didn't attract enough passengers. Before that, the Alaska Marine Highway System made port calls, but they were less frequent than the IFA provides. Report author Shivan says that didn't do a lot for island residents.
They absolutely made it work for them at the time, but this is so much better in terms of being able to have student groups travel and to go from Prince of Wales to Ketchikan and back again during the day, not having to get up in the middle of the night, and being able to go one way by ferry and to also come back by ferry.
Before the authority began, IFA critics predicted it would have to rely heavily on state funding to survive. The report says conditions have changed since the start, and the authority is doing well given the situation. That includes fuel costs that have risen fivefold, and the island's population shrinking by about a fifth. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
A fisherman pleaded not guilty Monday in Ketchikan Superior Court to manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. The two charges against 32-year-old Joshua Woodiga stem from a crew member's death last fall while diving for sea cucumbers near Ketchikan. Levi Adams of Kansas, was declared dead at Ketchikan Medical Center on October 8th of last year after he was transported there from the fishing vessel Ostrich. In court Monday, District Attorney Steve West said that Adams died from carbon monoxide poisoning, and West blamed the air compressor. Superior Court Judge Trevor Stevens set a trial date for June 3rd and asked the attorneys for bail suggestions. Diane Tobin, representing Woodiga for Monday's arraignment, asked for a low bail of $500. She says that while the charges are serious, Adams' death was accidental. Tobin notes that Woodiga has close ties to the community and is not a flight risk.
This is a responsible young man. He is in a relationship tantamount to a marriage. They've been together 5 years. He has a 2-year-old daughter. He also has a 10-year-old daughter from his past relationship. They are very important people in his life.
Judge Stevens set bail at $1,000 cash and appointed the State Public Defender Agency to represent Woodiga. The next scheduled hearing in the case is April 2nd at 1 p.m. Seismologists say two Alaska earthquakes have been felt in communities this morning. One earthquake occurred at 12:43 a.m. in the Cook Inlet region of the state. The 4.6 magnitude quake was centered 62 miles southwest of Homer, where it was felt. Another quake occurred at 11:14 last night in the Alaska Peninsula region. That earthquake had a magnitude of 3.8, located 12 miles southeast of Sand Point, where that was felt. The quake also was felt in King Cove. There are no immediate reports of damage from either earthquake. And at just a couple of minutes, or 1 minute before the hour of 8 o'clock, that's Raven News for this morning. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. And coming up later today at 10 a.m., just to remind you once again, if you haven't been listening all morning, Raven Radio is hosting a live call-in show on the Affordable Care Act from 10 to noon today. Search Outreach Manager, Andrea Thomas, will be in the studio to answer questions and about enrolling in the health insurance plan, qualifying for subsidies, and other questions you might have. You can call in anywhere from 10 to noon, or you can also post your questions to the Raven Radio Facebook page. And again, that's coming up at 10 this morning, so stay tuned for that. And we also have a quick check with our weather picture for Southeast and around the region. We can expect some rain showers with highs around 44, south winds 5 to 15 today. And winds picking up a little bit to 10 to 20 miles an hour tonight. Tenneke Springs, numerous rain and snow showers, highs around 41. Pelican, rain showers, highs around 41. And Elfin Cove, the same. Angoon, rain and snow this morning, and then turning to all rain later today with about an inch accumulation. Highs around 41 there today. In Cake today, rain is heavy at times. And then scattered rain this afternoon, highs around 45. In Yakutat, numerous rain showers mixed with a little snow this morning, a couple inches possibly accumulation, and your highs today around 41 degrees. We'll be back at 18 after the hour with the school activities report with Brian Hansen. Thanks for being with us this morning. I hope you're having a great day so far. Good morning.